Yeah. Cross up ready on the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
People changing up the game, oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
It's Car
now.
Talk with this radio, conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig, two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic, discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up the game mode. Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
This is Steph Swig. This is Big Pudge.
And this is Crosstalk Radio.
All right.
We got a great show right here lined up for you. Got special guests in the studio today. Guests, can you introduce yourselves?
I am Kenaya Ade. I'm Yusef's mother.
I'm Dorothy Watkins Brown. I'm Stephen's mom.
And our biggest fan. She's the most consistent listener that we have every single show she listened to. So we're gonna find a little bit about motherhood and kind of find out about how Pudge was as a kid and everything. It's going to be a great podcast.
Yeah.
And we're not going to find out nothing about my childhood because we're going to keep it moving and skip past those questions.
No, we're gonna marinate on his childhood for a minute. So if you didn't realize, this is our Mother's Day podcast. So we wanted to do something special for all the women out there, you know, and just the mothers, because, you know, without them, we would not be here.
What better way to start off than to have our own mothers in the studio?
Right, exactly. So y'all probably going to hear some things that we particularly don't want y'all to know, but hey, you know, this is Mother's Day.
And we're all going to be family today.
Right. all right, so the first question, what were the principles you tried to instill in your kids?
And these questions are for both of you. You jump in at any given point. Each question we address will be for each and every one of you.
I tried to instill integrity into Stephen so he would be responsible for his actions sometimes without me having to get the strap out.
I hear that strap out.
She had to add that part in.
She did.
You just asked about the principles.
I tried to instill love of God and love of family. Fear of God, not as scared of God, but reverence of God, so that he would always do the things that he was supposed to do, although he didn't always do the things he was supposed to do.
Did you get the strap out for him?
Oh, yes. We believed in the strap as well.
You just had to pull it out. I had to strap my choice.
Yeah, I had to do that. All right, great. All right, good deal. So, obviously, y'all found some joys in motherhood, so can you share some of the joys of motherhood with the audience out there?
Okay, I would say some of the joys of motherhood is as you rear your child, watching them as they get older, you know, turn into the person that they were meant to be. And sometimes it's not always who you thought it was going to be, you know, but it's watching them follow their own path and, you know, enjoying the things that they love to do and just watching that from the back seat and then steering and guiding and directing when you felt you need to. That's what I got the most joy out of.
Watching them grow up and becoming themselves.
Becoming themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I got the most joy from instilling different things in my son. For instance, taking him to the drive-in. And I'm still getting joy because he kept the tradition. He takes his kids to the drive-in.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I'm going to share another one then since we're talking about drive-ins and stuff. So, but you know, as a kid, you don't always pick up on things until you become an adult. Sometimes, like, now, this is where I get this from. So, drive-in is definitely one of them. And another one is scary movies. Everybody knows me, know I like scary movies. Yes, there's no secret. So, yes. I like scary movies. And that came from my mom taking me to the movies as a kid to see Children of the Corn.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
really?
I was, she might be getting in trouble now. So, she was a bus driver, a city bus driver. And, and I remember this. I was on the bus going home. And it's our last, I guess it's the last right before the bus head to the garage. She's like, Steph, you want to see a movie? So, I'm like, sure. I didn't know it was Children of the Corn. And even if I did, I wouldn't know what Children of the Corn was at that point. That was my very first scary movie. So we go to movies. And that movie scared the crap out of me. And then what made it worse, it's like, you see that dirt moving right there? I'm like, yeah, that's the devil coming out the ground. Oh, my God. She did. And so as I got older, I realized that what it was, she probably wanted to see the movie and didn't want to drop me off or couldn't find a babysitter. That's what I could think of. But either way, I'm a huge horror movie fan because of those experiences.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I don't even know how to respond to that.
So now you know how it happened.
Yes, I know the root of you in the scary movies.
Yes. All right.
Okay, so, Mom Brown, what's the biggest challenge you faced raising Stephen?
I think he was so independent, even at a very young age. Mm-hmm. One scenario was that we went into Sears Roebuck store when he was about 3 years old, and I turned just for a moment, and I looked around, and I couldn't find him. So all of a sudden, I heard this kid, and his voice was like an echo, and he said, "Hey, Ma, I'm up here." And there was like a 75-foot pole going up into the ceiling. Wow. He was on top of the pole. So the fire department had to come to get him down. So they told me to just talk to him. I said, I am. I got a good way to talk to him. Mm-hmm. That was some experience.
Oh,
so I had to keep a closer eye on him to the point to when we went to the amusement park, I actually had to buy a kid harness.
She's really
going to
tell that part.
Huh? Oh, wow. Yes, Stephen would literally, he had so much energy. He would literally bounce off the wall. I mean, he would run to one side of the wall, jump up on the wall, bounce back off, and run to the other end. So he still maintained a lot of that energy.
Oh, you cannot be mad at your son. He definitely gets that from you.
Yeah, he does. Your turn's coming. Wait. Can't wait to see what she says.
All right, Mom, what was the biggest challenge you faced raising me?
Okay, when you were younger, a similar challenge. You were getting injured all of the time because you would not stop climbing. And he climbed one time, and he slid, and a pole went through his leg. He had to rush into the emergency room. He had more scars on him. He was always getting injured. And then, as he got older, as a teenager, the biggest challenge was for him to understand that the world was not against him, especially school teachers. Every school teacher just hated him. It was never their fault. It was always his fault. He come home, that teacher just don't like me. I'm like, but every teacher in every grade, that was the biggest challenge. We're like, no, I think it's you. I don't think it's the teacher.
I can see that. All right, this is kind of segueing right off of that question. My mom, Miss Brown, mm-hmm. What was I like as a kid? What stood out about me as a kid?
You love to explore things, find out what made them work. If I got my finger caught in something, you would look to see how I did it, and then you'd fall out laughing. You thought it was just the most hilarious thing after you found out what happened.
Maybe we should have prepared them for the question.
But my most important thing back then, I think, that stayed with me over the years was when I taught you what a compound word is. And I knew one day you was going to use it and you'd probably be the only one in class. So maybe about a year from when I told you about it, you came home all excited, grinning ear to ear, talking about, Ma, I was the only student in class to learn the compound word. The teacher asked me, and I raised my little hand, and I knew it. So that was wonderful. That was such a reward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, give me the question again.
What was Yusuf like as a child?
As a child, inquisitive, always his own, I guess, individual person. Even to today, he has a way of making up his own vocabulary, words that don't exist in anybody's language, in anybody's dictionary, but his own. Just always inquisitive, adventurous, breaking things all the time. You know, just, I mean, a good old boy. He is just the definition of a boy, always in stuff, rough, this and that and the other, but a happy childhood. He was not difficult to raise, and that was good.
That is surprising. I'm sorry.
It's not surprising.
It's surprising.
It's just you get what I give you because I have to deal with you. That's what that is. And a lot of these questions Mama Brown has answered is bringing the roots of why you are who you are. Okay, so, Mom, what's the greatest challenge you faced as a mother? Just as a mom, period.
The greatest challenge that I faced as a mother, I guess, since I have several children, is I guess trying to make sure that you all were always well-rounded. That was the greatest challenge for me because, you know, you all have been in church all of your life. I've been an ordained minister for 30 years. You all knew nothing but church, mm-hmm. but I did not, and Pentecostal church at that. Mm-hmm. And so I did not want you all to stand out as strange children, like there goes the Holy Rollers or whatever. Mm-hmm. So trying to keep that balance. So we had R&B in our home. We had jazz in our home. Mm-hmm. We played games. We went to drive-in movies. We did things that were not quote unquote traditional church so that you all were well-rounded. That was the biggest challenge for me, to make sure that you all had balance in your life.
Yeah. All right, Mom Brown, what was the greatest challenge you faced as a mother?
I think the greatest challenge was being a single parent. Mm-hmm. I worked three jobs sometimes, and they all fit where I still would have time with the children. Mm-hmm. And my mother was a great help because she was still alive, and she was able to keep them sometimes when I wanted to go for social. But I made sure we had quality time together because we took a lot of road trips on the weekend. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was challenging, being a single parent and raising four kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. I was sitting there when she's talking. I just realized, I mean, that's another reason I like road trips, obviously. So apparently my whole childhood and everything I like really transitioned to my life right now. So we're getting to take a big 14-day cross-country trip. Yeah. I love people. Wow. Oh my God, that's horrible. Yeah, really?
Wonderful.
I love it.
That's wonderful.
I'm looking forward to it, man. All right. So, Yusuf's mom, what are some of the accomplishments of his that you are particularly proud of, or most proud of?
His evangelism. That comes like right off at the top.
Okay, right on,
I mean, his evangelism, because he is true to who he is. Mm-hmm. He is not your typical evangelist that runs revivals at churches. He is real. He is street. And I've watched his life and I've seen him, you know, get gangbangers together to pray. They came to fight. They wound up praying together. Oh. I'm so proud of him with that. And the fact that he's a very good dad as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those of you who heard our last podcast, you know how much of a street man he is, how different he is in his ministry, how the different approaches he takes.
Yes.
That's all the outside the box approaches. I'm not criticizing. I'm just mentioning to leave the judgment to the other people who are here.
I got you.
All right, my mom, what are some of the accomplishments of mine that you're particularly proud of?
One is being CEO and founder of a Christian nightclub called The Sanctuary. The Sanctuary is an event, and it's a movement also, because we're trying to move forward and get people to come to the Sanctuary so they can get saved, so they can party in a wholesome environment without the liquor and all the cussing and everything, and feel comfortable there. We have trivia, we have open mic, we have entertainment there, we have food, and Yusuf has been there. He has just helped out every way he can. And I love his chicken wings. So if you come to the Sanctuary, you have to try the lemon pepper wings.
Yes, Mom. Get it in there.
Same way from my house, she pointed me to your pepper wings. That's how we do this here.
You can't be mad if she loves my wings.
I ain't mad. I'm not mad. All right, good deal.
Okay, so Mom Brown, quick funny story about Steph. Come with it.
There are so many stories.
Whatever story you want to share.
This one is a little raunchy, but it has its own humor.
Yes, it does.
When Stefan first joined the Scouts, they used to have Weibo Scouts during the time, and he had to say the pledge, and the pledge was, "We belong, Weibo Scouts." Scouts.
We Be Loyal Scouts was the
We
pledge.
Be Loyal Scouts.
And the name of the group was like Weeblows, which is like Cub Scout, a smaller version of Cub Scouts.
Well, if you know Stefan, he talks very fast. So when it was his turn to get up in front of all the scouts at school, he said, "We blow Loyal Scouts." Everybody laughed. Oh my gosh. He caught his error, so he straightened it up rapidly. But everybody was bent over laughing because it was so innocent. It was early days.
So you're blowing Loyal Scouts now. Huh? That's what you're doing?
Oh, that's funny.
First, you would have never told me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have told you.
I'm so glad
I still didn't tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
Fine.
I'm going to always remember that.
Just move on. Oh, okay. Moving on. Running out of time here.
All right, Mr. Weeblow Scouts.
Okay. You write that down.
Mom, a quick funny story about me.
Okay, I can think of two, but the funniest
go with
to
two.
Me.
Please go with two. No, we're doing two. I got time for two.
The funniest to me was trying to teach him his middle name. Yusuf is actually his middle name. His birth name is Byron Yusuf Brown, and he goes by Yusuf now. But trying to teach him his middle name was so funny. We would say Yusuf, and he would say Misif. And I'm like, "No, Yusuf." And he's like, "Misif." And I said, "Yusuf." He said, "I said Misif." And then I tried to use reverse psychology. I said, "Oh, okay. Misif." Figured he's going to say Yusuf. He said, "That's what I said. Misif." I don't even remember when he finally understood that his name was Yusuf. He just could not get it. That was hilarious. That was so funny.
And my father still calls me Misif.
He still, to this day, he calls him Misif.
Misif.
Yes. That is hilarious. You said you had two stories?
Yes.
Really? Did you?
I told you all that he slid down a pole and the pole stick went through his leg and got him to the emergency room. And of course, they had to pull the stick out and they had to suture him up. And so he was terrified. He saw the needle where they were going to numb him up. So he's laying there and he's strapped down and he's screaming, "I got to pee, I got to pee, I got to pee, I got to pee." So they let him up, let me take him to the bathroom. Uh-huh. He came back, they strapped it back down. He saw the needle. He said, "I got to pee, I got to pee." The emergency room doctor said, "Oh no, you just peed. You're about to get this needle." And it was just, wasn't funny then, but it's funny now.
Oh man, I actually remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah, I totally didn't remember it until she said I got to pee. I should remember that.
He didn't want that needle.
I did.
All right. Sister Brown, my mother, what advice would you give mothers out there in general?
I would just tell them to love their children, understand their children, let them speak to them sometimes rather than tell them, "Grown-ups are talking, you can't talk." I used to do that because it used to annoy me when I'm talking to a grown-up. And we were raised that way. My parent, if she caught me looking at a grown-up's mouth while they were talking, I might get smacked. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, it's important to listen to your children because if you don't, the street will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I agree with Mama Brown wholeheartedly. It is a different time. And, you know, a lot of the ways that we were raised were wonderful. But some of those ways, just like Mom Brown said, you have to listen, you know, to your children. And I think it's just so important. I would give other mothers advice. Let your children develop and become who they want to be. And don't try to live vicariously through your child. A lot of people, moms and dads, they wanted to be this or accomplish that in their own life, and they didn't. So now they want to force their child to do that. I would advise against that. Let them be who they want to be and support that.
Amen. Good advice for both of y'all.
Yes, all right, so since we're already on advice, Mom, what advice would you give your younger self? Giving your younger self advice now,
yes.
All that you know now, what would you have given your younger self?
Be more patient. Definitely. Be more patient. You know, maybe one or two less behind whoopings.
One or two
less behind whoopings. You know, be more patient and to listen, you know, a little bit more than I did then. Yeah.
Mom Brown, like, what advice would you give your younger self?
My younger self, not to come off as conceited. A lot of people perceive me because I get quiet sometimes. And I'm a person, if I don't have anything to say, I may not say anything. Mm-hmm. And they would say that I was conceited. And one lady proved that I wasn't. She was having a tax sale, and I went there, and she was asking questions. And she tells her friends now that I thought Dorothy was conceited, but I was going to make sure she was my friend. That lady is now a lifetime friend of mine.
Wow. Oh, wonderful.
Who was that?
Ann.
Oh, wow.
Wonderful.
That's Ann. Makes sense. All right, here's a tough question. Y'all ready? We're going to give you an easy question.
Uh-oh.
All right, so any regrets as a parent? This one's, y'all can just jump in. Whoever wants to go first.
I don't have any regrets because it was an experience through the whole thing. I now have 12 grandchildren out of 3 of my children. I have 3 great-grands now. Wow. And I love them. I'm happy about all of them. Each one is different. I even tell my children I don't have any favorites. I have 4 children. Mm-hmm. I have boy, girl, boy, girl.
That's what she tells them.
And the Russian group calls that the golden group. But to me, they're all the same because my oldest is my son, my oldest daughter. And then I have 2 young ones. I have a baby son and a baby daughter. Mm-hmm. So there's no middle person. Mm-hmm. So each one, they're special to me. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I have regrets either. I think everything that, there are some things that I may have done differently. Mm-hmm. But no regrets, because I think, you know, we learn from even the mistakes that we make. And everything that happened for a reason, and it makes us who we are today. So no regrets.
Mm-mm. Good,
good. Okay, Mom Brown, did you make any sacrifices to be a mother? And if so, what were they, and was it worth it?
I made a sacrifice. I got married as a 17-year-old. And to me, that was a sacrifice for my youth. And I ended up having a baby, the first son I had out of that marriage. And a lot of things I could not do with my friends. I couldn't hang out late, you know, and go places I wanted to go. I couldn't further my education at the time. But later years, I did go back. I went to college. I took other avenues of education. Mm-hmm. So that's about the ball of it. That's the whole thing.
Was it worth it?
Was it worth it? Now I realize it was. At the time, I was selfish, and I was just mad about it. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, I was like, I live in Cleveland, Ohio. What am I going to do out here? I don't even know how to drive a car. I'm too young for this. And all that, you know. And I was mad, like I lost some time of my life. Mm-hmm. But now when I look back on it, it was supposed to happen so I can have the son in my life that I have now.
Okay.
And his name is Calvin.
Okay. Before we go on, I want to ask a question, though. So I know what you just said. You said you don't have any regrets and everything's good, but you also said you missed out on some things.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go through like a phase where, like, some people say, like Michael Jackson, he said he didn't have a childhood, so that's why he became more of a child as he got older. Did you go through like an extra party phase, like maybe a midlife crisis later on in life, or going through a clubbing phase later on in life? Or how did you regain, you know, with the time you said you thought you lost?
I regained it later in my 20s, late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still regaining some of it because I still party hard.
All right. Okay, Mom, did you make any sacrifices to be a mother? If so, what were they and was it worth it?
Okay, again, we've got a lot in common.
okay.
Yes. I had to delay finishing college because I married early at 20, got pregnant at 19. And I was in college, got pregnant at 19, and wind up getting married. So then I came out of college to work. And so I had to finish going to college years later.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big sacrifice because I would talk with some of my friends that were in college the same time I was. I started college at the age of 17. And here, 4 years later, they were done and they had their bachelor's degrees and they were moving and I wasn't where they were. So I regretted that. I never regretted getting pregnant and having my son, Yusuf. I never regretted that. But I'm like, okay, am I ever going to get to school? So I remember my mother telling me, she was a nurse's aide at a hospital in New Jersey. And she said, well, why don't you go to LPN school? Because it's only 12 or 13 months. and you can make a good career. So I did that. Mm-hmm. And I was an LPN for 18 years, mm-hmm. but still wasn't satisfied because when I was in college, that ain't mm-hmm. what I was in college for. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in college for sociology and for education. Okay. So years That's later, fine. I went back and got those degrees, mm-hmm. bachelor's mm-hmm. and master's degree. Awesome. So. Amen.
That is parallel because yeah. I went back for sociology and physiology, wow. for social work, and social science.
I guess that's why wow. we get along. So
must be.
All right. All right. We got another question. Then we're gonna switch things up a little bit. One misconception about mothers. What do y'all think?
A misconception
about mothers.
I think when they start saying unconditional love. I think that's a misconception because mm-hmm. sometimes my love is not unconditional when my children are doing something wrong mm-hmm. because I'm going to chastise them equally. Mm-hmm. So some people say unconditional love can mean where you love them regardless of what they do. Not me. If they do wrong, I'm going to make sure it's reasonable and fair. I'm not going to just beat on my kids, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that my thing is unconditional love. I really don't truly believe that for my children. Mm-hmm.
All right, Mom, a misconception.
Okay, a misconception that the first thing came to my mind, and I think this comes from my husband and I were foster parents for 10 years. And oh, wow. from that, we adopted two children who are both now 21. They came into our lives when they were 2 months old. Now they're 21 years old. Mm-hmm. The misconception is that most women, once they have a child, they have a mothering instinct. That is a misconception. All women don't. And I used to think that they did too, but my work out there with so many young women that have had children or whatever, and even some that are in my life now that have no idea how to raise children, I know now every woman, just because you give birth to a child, doesn't mean you have a mothering instinct. That is a misconception.
That is true.
They have to be helped along the way. Yeah.
That's true. I see a lot of those out there in the streets. Mm-hmm. The ones that don't have it in them, that's yeah. cussing their kids out and dragging them down. That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
We're gonna keep it positive, but that just yeah. made me think about that when you said it about not every mother born or has a child born with that natural motherly
That's
instinct
right.
inside.
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna switch it up a little bit. We're not asking enough questions for y'all, so I'm gonna ask Yusuf a question. We're gonna both tackle the question.
All right.
Okay.
Crazy. No,
I'm
cool.
Are you racing yourself? No, it's just that we asked some questions and I also kind of piggyback on what I said earlier. Like, a lot of times stuff happened in your childhood mm-hmm. or something parents did, and you don't never understand maybe until you become an adult or even become a parent. Mm-hmm. So what was something your mom, that you remember your mom doing, I guess, for you as a child that you are able to appreciate now? Maybe that you didn't grasp fully back then, or just something you appreciate about your mom in general?
Her boldness. Mm-hmm. And when I say boldness, I mean... We live, we're from Camden, New Jersey, and, you know, they call that like Little Vietnam. It's extremely rough. It's extremely bad. And my mother wasn't scared of nothing. Like, that was a shock to see, you know, I'll give a specific story. You know, it was dope boys all up and down our block all day long. Mm-hmm. And she sent me to the store to go get something. I came back to the store. And one of the dope boys, they had took whatever it was, you know what I'm saying, that I mm-hmm. bought from the store. So I came in the house crying, you know, she looking at me, what's wrong with me? And I told her what it was. So at that time, my father was like, you know, heavy into the world. So she called his name and was like, you know, the dope boy, they messing with him again. And, you know, he was downstairs, you know, my father was a DJ too. So he downstairs doing his thing. He ain't really paying my mom no mind. So she was like, so if you're not going to handle it, I will. Mm-hmm. We had a dog named Doobie. Mm-mm. He was a half German Shepherd, half Doberman.
Yeah.
So she grabbed him, walked down the alley, and told me to come with her, and walked inside. When she walked in the backyard, I've never seen that many brothers scatter like roaches. When she walked in the backyard with that dog. Now, my mother was a hardcore evangelist at that time. So she had a lot of street in her, mm-hmm. you know, and... The one guy that was messing with me, I still remember like it was yesterday. He was so scared. Like, he would, like, the doobie was literally, like, seconds away from just gnawing off his knees. Mm-hmm. And all she kept saying is going, she was going off telling him, you don't mess with my son. You remember this face? You better not ever mess with this by that. And he started crying. Dope boy crying. He's like, please, man, please, whatever. Just don't let the dog out on me. And ever since, and I was just in awe of my mother after that. But it was funny because after that, they started looking out for me. Just because of how much my mom scared them.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so it's always her bonus. I've seen her walk up on a dead corpse on our street. We was on our way to church one day. A body already dead, locked just laying there. She literally started doing CPR to the body. I mean, I didn't know it was already dead, but God was just laid out. And this is on our way to church one morning. I've seen her do that. I've seen just recently, too, 2 years ago, we were we're in Atlanta, Georgia. So if anybody know about the hood, it's called the Bluff. Our church is out at the Bluff, standing on the corner, singing and ministering to people. And a fight broke out right in front of us. And my mother, literally, we were singing a war song, walking on all four corners of the street, right of Joseph E. Boone and Larry, aka Simpson and Ashby. Those ATL is
the West End, ain't it?
Yeah, the West End. Yeah, and literally. She was clapping and warm with the song. She just said, I'm going in. And we were following her. And she literally, like, was singing a war cry song and walked right in the midst of these people fighting. To the point where they realized quickly what was going on. The Holy Spirit just took completely over to where they literally stopped fighting and became extremely apologetic. They were apologizing like crazy. But they were, I mean, it went from cussing, fighting to apologizing.
Wow.
So for me to see a woman do all of that, you know, it's her boldness. This bottom line, I've seen a lot. I've seen when we was young, she would make us Saturday go outside and stand on the corner and sing songs while she evangelizing to the dope boys and everybody else, prostitutes, everybody else to walk by. So this is how I was raised, seeing her boldness. So it's kind of like hard not to be bold.
That's amazing.
I have to live with a woman like that.
Well, did you realize that was what was going on then? Like, when she said, you said she had made you stand out in the corner saying, did you like that back then?
No,
you,
we hated that. Me and my brother and my sisters, we kids. We don't want to be standing on the corner singing church songs on a Saturday.
But it worked, right? It worked.
I want to be watching Kung Fu every Saturday.
So you end up becoming a street evangelist.
Exactly.
And your brother is what?
He started off in evangelism. He's a pastor now.
Wow! Look at that.
You know, both sisters are seers or prophets. I mean, it's like you said. You, hearing the stories about your mom, you see your life right now. I see it unfold. You know, in front of me, I see why everything that she had us do. The purpose behind it.
Yeah.
There's times when I go places. And I'm not scared to do something because she already took that away but as a child. So it's nothing for me to go inside a second club and get on their stage and rap about Jesus because the fear is no longer there to go into the world and do something. Like, if I had not experienced that, I might be scared, like, every single time.
Wow. That's dope.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Shout out to
Thank you.
Now I got to find a cool story to track down. No, but one thing I always noticed, even, I don't know if I realized it much as a kid, but my mom, she always nurtured my gifts and my interests. No matter what it was at the time, because as a kid, your gifts, well, not your gifts change, but your interests change.
Yeah.
You know, I do write. I still am a good writer. A lot of people don't know that, but my mom's always encouraged me. Like, I wrote little children's stories when I was a kid. She had them published.
Wow.
You know, when I got interested in space, she signed me for every space program Bridgeport, Connecticut could ever offer. Like, every weekend, I was in some kind of space camp, space program. Mm-hmm. And then she even found a program for me to go to space camp in Florida. We lived in Connecticut. And so she found out a way I could do it. So I had to write an essay, which again, here comes writing. So I had to write an essay, and I actually got approved for a scholarship, full scholarship to Space Camp in Florida. So what we did, we packed up from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and we drove all the way down to Florida. Road trip again. Back then, I could help drive. So she drove all the way down, 22 hours straight.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh. Well, no, I'll tell you that. That was a different trip. But we drove to Virginia, then we caught the auto train, then we went down, and we got a resort, and then I went to Space Camp for a whole week because of her showing it, you know, sharing just compassion and just supporting my interests. Then when I didn't want that anymore, I wanted to go into carpentry. She supported me in carpentry. Then when I didn't want to do carpentry anymore, I decided that.
Just make up your mind.
Because all these things I was interested in, these are still things I still do to this day.
Wow.
I still do carpentry.
That's wonderful.
I still write. Mm-hmm. I'm still interested in space. I don't want to go to space, but I still like science and stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then when I wanted to get into radio, I decided that's what I wanted to do. She found every single radio school you can find in the state of Georgia. And the next thing, I'm going to auditions and stuff like that. You know, I thought I wanted to be an actor. I'll sign up for an audition the next week. So no matter what I thought I wanted to do, she's always there.
That's wonderful.
So the radio thing. Yeah. I did have an opportunity to work on radio, which I did before I got here. Now I'm doing my own podcast. So right. There we go.
That's awesome.
Okay, and then when I decided to do the sanctuary, not only did she help with the sanctuary get the information to help do the sanctuary, she joined the staff.
All right.
Right. Sure. So it's like, no matter what I want to do, she's always been supportive. And that transcends to me, too, because I'm very supportive of people in my family and in my circle. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not even an option. If someone around me is doing something that I'm feeling or I can support, mm-hmm. I want to be there. Yeah. The only thing is, I'm in Atlanta now, so it's like 5 events every weekend. But, mm-hmm. you know, that comes from being raised that way and just seeing mm-hmm. how important it is. Like, when you have a dream, when you have a calling, you have a passion, whatever, and for anybody to support you means a lot, but let alone your mom to join your team and just be there. Yeah. You know, same thing. I noticed it with my sister. My little sister, she wanted to be a dancer. She was in dance, ballet, jazz, tap my whole life. Mm-hmm. Now she works in
modeling.
In modeling, too. Now she works in Universal Studios. Now she's a dancer at Universal Studios. She has she does stills. Matter of fact, she came to Sanctuary and stills. You remember that?
Yeah.
She won Entertainment of the Year at Universal, her division.
That is awesome.
So that's one thing that I always say I do appreciate about my mom is that she was always supportive.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I just have to praise God for it.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
One more thing, she was always creative. She always came up with cool stuff for us to do. And you know, like she said, she was a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like I missed out on anything in my childhood. Like, she found all kinds of community events free. So there's a lot of free stuff that she always would find to do. Like, and like summer camps, everything. Like, all kinds of programs. Any kind of program we want to do, she found a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even to this day.
They wanted to go to summer camp. So I went to a camp and found out how could they get there without having to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the counselor told me if they became junior counselors and they trained for a little while, so I put two of them right in, right as soon as he told me, I brought them back the next week.
Yep.
So they got free camp for that.
Wow, that's exactly. Wisdom there.
Yeah, so all kinds of free stuff, all kinds of cool things, creative things. Like, we go to the park, we do all kinds of take road trips. I remember she took us to the movie. We spent the whole day in the movies one day. We saw 3 movies back to back in the movie. And that was awesome.
Yes, that was awesome.
I paid for all 3.
Stuff like that she is still to me, and I still do to this day. Like, mm-hmm. we don't spend all day in the movie, but we spend all day watching movies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, wonderful. So that's the same stuff we do. You know, I support my kids, and that's all, you know, because that house is still to me. So thank you again for mom for supporting me and just the cool little creative stuff you do.
You're welcome.
That is so fantastic. That is so wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, that's all my questions. Pudge, you got anything you want to throw at them? Or?
I mean, I guess we should end it off by. Well, I want to end it off saying something to my mother. You can end it off saying something
to
your
mom.
Oh, you already said something.
Yeah,
well, mine's personally, I just want to say that, Mom, you're awesome.
I mean,
and we know we have a close relationship, so when I say awesome, you know what I mean, like, awesome for real. Like, I can mm-hmm. still call my mother and be a baby, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And I'm mm-hmm. not a mama's boy. That's mm-hmm. that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's
so,
true.
You know, but if I still want to go there, I actually can. I've seen you, like, hold our whole family up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even from prayer to just look, it's been 3 months and we ain't got together. And everybody, when we getting together to eat,
mm-hmm.
you know, so mm-hmm. you are the backbone of our family, you know, and that is a great honor, you know what I'm saying? Because I mean, you really, I always feel like I have the greatest mother on earth, hands down. Like, nobody can top my mom. You know, but I feel like every
competition.
No, but I feel like every child should feel like
that. Right, that's right.
Unfortunately, they don't. You know, but I'm just letting it be known that I have an awesome mom, and I love you for everything that you've done. Uh-huh. And I really, really thank you for even the things that happened to us that we feel like was wrong back then. You know, I'm thankful for it because, you know, y'all instilled in me. how to be a man, how to just have integrity, how to know, make choices from right and wrong. And, you know, y'all did y'all job. Y'all did y'all job, and I'm just proud to have. And I'm saying y'all because even though it's Mother's Day, my father still plays a huge role in all of this. So I can't, like, not say y'all, you know. But I just love you. You're awesome.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
That's what the show's all about.
Yes. Top that.
All right, man.
Gonna have to get some tissue pretty soon, right?
That's up. We need tissue,
right? So you turned into a competition.
No, I wasn't trying to.
But I got Candyman, which my mom, happy birthday. On video. Anyway, so while we're on that vein, I just want to give a shout out to all the moms out there that's doing it. You know, we can't be here without you, period. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you, and obviously we're here, you didn't get that abortion. So thank you to all the mothers who are out there. Mm-hmm. Thank you to my wife, my sisters, my sister-in-laws. Shout out to all the single moms out there doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, just happy Mother's Day to y'all. Keep doing what you're doing because your role is important. I think it's probably one of the most thankful roles that people just overlook a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But just thank y'all for being great moms.
Yeah.
Yusuf, you want to give a shout out?
Yeah, I just want to shout out to all the single moms. I know a lot of women that are single parents. And as usual, y'all know me. I salute y'all because it's that's something that I just can't even imagine. Just you know, especially the ones that have more than one child.
Yeah.
You know, and y'all are really doing it. Like y'all on top of y'all thing. Y'all handling y'all business. Y'all making sure like the balance that both our moms was talking about. Y'all have that. I've seen a lot of y'all like go through just because, you know, you just have one income or three incomes, but you're that one soul body that's putting
that's
in all that work.
Right there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And a lot of brothers, you know, get upset when I say this, but to me it's just the honest truth. Like, women have strong backbones. There's a lot of things that women can handle that men will just fold up and cry and run about. I just strongly feel that because I've seen women endure certain things that I know certain men could not. You know, so all the single women out there, I really, really salute y'all.
Yes.
Very good.
And now we got to do our usual shout outs.
Oh, we got to give it up to Tokyo. Tokyo, we love y'all.
We love y'all.
We absolutely love y'all. Y'all have been our number one fan since we started this.
Yes.
And we cannot just thank y'all enough for constantly tuning in. Like every week, we just want y'all to know that we love y'all all day long.
All day. Germany, too. Germany, appreciate you stepping up, listening to us and supporting us.
Yes.
So we're going to list our top cities that we have listeners in other cities, but the only ones, these are our top cities right here. Wow. So we'll shout out to Stone Mountain, Georgia. Millersville, thank you so much.
Yes.
Morrow, Georgia.
Yes.
Shout outs to Fayetteville. You know who's in Fayetteville listening to us.
Yeah.
Shout outs to Fayetteville. Thank you so much. Jonesboro.
Mm-hmm. Conyers.
Shout out to Conyers.
Yeah, we got a regular
thank you.
Conyers.
Yes, Conyers. Another shout out to Conyers. Definitely. Menlo Park, California. Thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate you. Douglasville, Georgia. We appreciate you tuning in. Mount Holly, New Jersey.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in. Philadelphia. Yes. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for everyone who's tuned in consistently. The new listeners, the faithful listeners, and just thank you for your support, your prayers. And if you, like I said, like I always say, if you got anything you want us to talk about specifically, hit us up, crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. That's crosstalk with a G, K.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. We'll catch you next week. Happy Mother's Day to all
Happy
of us
Mother's
out
Day.
There.
Thank
Love
you.
Y'all.
Thank
Peace.
You. Peace.